The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Hello and welcome to Dubs Talk, presented by Wendy's. New to Wendy's is the 2 for $5 lineup, is our classic chicken sandwich, the perfect balance of crispy and juicy. Price and participation may vary for a limited time only. I'm Grant Lifman, and I am joined by Drew Schiller, that we like to call ourselves the Warriors Outsiders, but today we're just going to be on Dubs Talk.
And yeah, but when Wendy's says limited time, Like when does that mean? When does it end?
I don't know. So that's why you better get there and try it out.
You just got to go now.
Yeah, try it out. Actually, Wendy's sounds really good right now. Drew, we have I don't even know where to start. We have so many things to cover.
We have so much space for activities.
Yes.
We just don't even know what to do with it, you know?
Step Brothers are reference. If you guys got that, then you are in. You're in the cool group.
If you didn't get that, then you need to go watch Step Brothers.
That's a good point. Actually, it was on today. I'm going to be honest. I might have peeped a little bit. So let's start with let's go through the moves that the Warriors made and give our analysis on it. And I guess the big one, James Wiseman.
Oh, so we're going to go to the draft, not just free agency.
Let's go in order here. James Wiseman was the first pick. That was the first transaction, really, for the Warriors. And the big man, Drew, now you've had some time. Instead of being like, are they going to take Edwards? Are they going to do this? And you're doing all the analysis of all the different guys. In this case, you get to focus on the guy that they have now, James Wiseman. What have you learned over this time of now just focusing on him? And how do you see this guy fitting in?
Well, I've learned that he's probably going to be first team All-NBA as a rookie, and that he'll be inducted into the Hall of Fame before his career is even over.
Perfect. That's easy.
I think that's pretty obvious at this point. no, but in all seriousness, there is no reason to not be very, very excited about both the present and the future for Wiseman. And I mean, obviously, you know, people affiliated with the Warriors after the fact are going to say that, oh, we love this guy, number one on our board. We heard Joe Lacob say that he thinks he is a once-in-a-decade kind of talent and that he's been his top choice practically forever. Steve Kerr said that after the Warriors had a Zoom call with Wiseman back in June, that Kerr at that point in time pretty much knew, okay, we don't know what our pick is going to be, because remember, the lottery wasn't until August, but if James Wiseman is on the board and we're on the clock, then we're going to probably take him. And it was kind of like other prospects needed to somehow leapfrog him, because yes, the Warriors did put Wiseman at the top, and that's why they went with him. And I don't know what you think. You and I, we haven't discussed this yet. On opening night, do you think he is starting at center?
Yes, I do.
Really? Okay.
And the reason I do is because I think for what he brings to the team, why not put that with Draymond Green, Steph Curry, and the starters? And I think, A, in terms of what he does best, it will actually help those guys. But B, why not help him as much as possible by putting him with the very best? My concern is if you put him in a second unit, the way the roster is constructed, that second unit is pretty young already. So
you don't know who the second unit's going to be.
Oh, well, we don't know how they're going to divide it up. But if you're putting him out there, I feel like Looney, for instance, or if it's Chris, they have more of a calming veteran presence at this point, which is crazy for how young they are. Wiseman out there might be more of a wild card, and I just think he'd be better suited rim running and flying above the rim with people that we know are established in doing so, of giving him that lob, Draymond and Steph.
That's very understandable. You know who would agree with your sentiment? Steve Kerr and former Warriors center Damian Jones. Remember in the playoffs when Jones, who had not played in a long time, got a start against the Blazers, and everyone was like,
well, he was the starting center earlier in the season.
So no, I know, but then he got hurt, and it was like, he's coming back, and Steve Kerr is not just going to bring him off the bench. No, you put him out there with the best players around him to try to put him in the best position to succeed. So totally could see that happening.
What do you think?
What?
What do you think?
Well, I'm just saying, I don't think it's a slam dunk. I think that on opening night, it could be Marquese Chris. It could be Kevon Looney. I think we can comfortably say it's not going to be Alan Smilegeage.
Right.
But
I think we can also comfortably say that it's not going to be Draymond Green. Because
I think depending on who the opponent is, I could actually see a scenario in which it is Steph Curry.
It'd be Damian.
Steph Curry, Kelly Oubre, Andrew Wiggins, Eric Paschal, and Draymond Green.
I was going the other way. Curry, Damian Lee, Oubre, Wiggins, Draymond.
Definitely fair. Or you could go Bazemore at the two.
True.
I mean, this is fun. We're going to get to all these
It's fun.
To get back to the original point, I could see on opening night, even the first week, even the first month of the season, it's Marquese Chris or Kevon Looney. You know, you find the right lineups for Wiseman to be in. Just because he doesn't start the game doesn't mean you can't find him, you know, a good unit to put him in the best position to succeed. And then, yes, maybe after, you know, a month of games and some practices, then he really kind of elevates himself to be the starting center. But I don't know if that's going to happen on opening night. We'll see. I mean, it's a really quick turnaround.
Yeah, but you know, the other thing is obviously so much depends on how he plays in training camp. If he comes in and he's feeling good and he's running the floor and doesn't seem like he's too lost out there, I think he is playing with house money right now, in that he gets the benefit of the doubt if he's playing close to what they want him to be. I think he has the nod, in my personal opinion. But, you know, they have a lot invested in him too, so they don't want to throw him into the fire too quickly.
Right, you don't want to have him lose some confidence if he struggles early on.
You can see both sides of it. For me, I look at the length that he brings and the other guys we're going to bring up as well that are just – it is just astounding how quick they can be, how long they can be out there, how athletic they are. You know, that's not something the Warriors thought they were going to be necessarily, that long, rangy team, and they kind of just turned into that.
Well, back in, I believe it was early October, Steve Kerr was talking to Tim Kawakami of The Athletic, and he said, we absolutely need to get bigger. We need to get more athletic. And at the time, Kerr said, which we're going to do because our roster is far from finished because we hadn't even had the draft or free agency yet. And everyone was thinking, oh, the way the Warriors roster is currently constructed, they have no chance to win a championship. Yes, that is correct. that is correct. They need to, you know, have the draft and have free agency. And so now that that is behind us, wow, the Warriors got an infusion of length and athleticism and drinking game word, wingspan.
Wingspan, switchability. I like that one, switchability. Just going back to Wiseman quickly, I did a little article where I broke down former top three big men draft picks that were once.
You tweeted something and then you wrote an article. I saw both.
And now I'm talking about it verbally. It's like every platform.
Triple threat.
Yeah, triple threat. The caveat with it is obviously these teams that are usually picking that high are bad teams. The Warriors were a bad team, but they got everyone back to become a playoff team, and they have expectations to be really good. These other teams had the ability to play these guys, the opportunity just to play these guys, run them out there, let them play through mistakes, et cetera, right? So you're looking at Anthony Davis, Karl Anthony Towns, and you can go through the list, and they all played really well. Karl Anthony Towns averaged like over 18 points a game. He came in. And by the way, Drew, he was somebody that everyone was like, we can see him being really good. He averaged like 10 points a game for Kentucky as a freshman. And they're like, we could see him being really good. And then he comes in and just all of a sudden it's like an incredible offensive player.
Well, you get more in the NBA. It's just a different game, right. More possessions, all that.
Yeah. But maybe they're hoping potentially Wiseman has that ability. Just so everyone goes, whoa, maybe he's more advanced than we thought he was, because no one knows. We haven't been able to watch his workouts, and we've only seen him in 3 games this entire season. So he could be very far along offensively than we even know or comprehend.
Well, yeah, based on some of these Instagram videos, that's why I said he's going to be first team all NBA as
right.
rookie.
Right. But the one that I actually found the best comparison to was actually Dwight Howard, because Dwight Howard came out of high school. Wiseman only played 3 games in college. So you can see the raw ability in that way. They're about the same age. And what Howard did was he averaged like 12 points, 10 rebounds, and just was an absolute beast. And what you knew was this guy's going to be able to play defense. He's going to be able to be athletic, play above the rim, and power the ball. I mean, that's kind of what I'm expecting out of Wiseman.
I think we used Dwight Howard as the comparison the other day after the draft when we were talking about his shoulders.
Yes.
And how you can see that he just is going to grow into these Grant Lithman quarantine shoulders. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like it's just so clear that that's going to happen. No, but yes, to close the loop on Wiseman, I don't think anybody has, outside of him and maybe the Warriors, if they had these conversations, really know what they think he can be 3, 4, 5 years from now. And I'm mostly talking about his offensive game.
Right.
Because everyone assumes right off the bat, and this is why everyone was saying that Wiseman is just going to go to the Warriors automatically. It's a perfect fit because he can simply set screens, roll to the rim, be that vertical spacing threat, catch lobs, and then defensively just kind of patrol the paint, protect the rim and all of that. But hearing him talk, as we kind of have already discussed in the last week or so, this guy really views himself as someone who's going to end up being a playmaking center.
Mm-hmm.
Not a what's the inside joke with our buddy? Is a decision-making four.
Decision-making forward or something.
Decision-making four. No, but he's going to be someone who can put the ball on the deck like an Anthony Davis.
Right.
You know, like a Giannis, who is, I guess, considered a center in today's game. Who knows?
Small forward.
So there's truly no sort of cap we should put on who James Wiseman can eventually become, because it's going to be a process, and I think he's going to show some things here and there. This game he did this game he did that, and we're going to be like, oh, wow, if he can put all of this together, then right. he can be a special talent.
Now, you know, later in the week, you and I are going to do another pod, actually, like, kind of previewing the upcoming season. And something I do want to bring up for that time is, if Wiseman does start, and if Looney's healthy, Chris might be the odd man out for a lot of games. And he's somebody that people thought might even be the starting center this year. So that's something to discuss in terms of the big man rotation.
It shows you how deep the Warriors are right now.
That's actually true. That's true. They do actually have some depth.
Are you faithful to the Bay? 49ers 2021 season tickets are available now, and locations are filling up quickly. Lock in your seats with a deposit today to secure your spot for next season. For more information, visit 49ers.com/season tickets.
So, Nico Mannion, you know, we can just do this briefly. I'm excited to watch him play. There's a lot of enthusiasm within the Warriors brass. They really wanted him. So this isn't just something. Thanks a lot, Drew. Thanks for the noise.
So I'm getting FaceTimes.
Unbelievable. Yeah, so he's somebody, again, we don't know how much playing time he's going to get, et cetera, but he's somebody that came in with a lot of talent. He was highly regarded prospect, and he's somebody that the Warriors think all those that potential is still there. They just need to bring it out of him. And you mentioned something earlier. The NBA game is so different than college.
Mm-hmm.
And some people and their skills and their talents and their attitude and the things they bring to a game are just better suited for the NBA than college. We'll see if Nico's one of those guys.
Without a doubt. I mean, he did not have a bad freshman year at Arizona.
Right.
He didn't have a stellar year with the Wildcats. His shooting percentages, I think, probably were the biggest red flag for teams, right, because he was got around 40% overall, low 30s from three. And so I think teams probably were put off by that. But Steve Kerr, for as excited as he said he was about James Wiseman, is even more excited about Nico Mannion because of the Arizona.
Bear down.
Yeah. We're recording this pod on Monday night. We're pretty sure he's going to be on a two-way contract, right? I mean, we can kind of comfortably say that.
Yeah.
Which means he'll be available for up to 50 of the Warriors, the Golden State Warriors, not the Santa Cruz Warriors, 72 games this season. So
that's a lot.
It is a lot. And depending on injuries, depending on, we have to just say it, COVID absences. I mean, they're hoping that Nico Mannion can be a guy that can hold his own out there and be serviceable. So yes, it's going to be, you know, somewhat of a development year for him, but any contribution they can get from him on a game-to-game basis is going to matter, and he just might get an opportunity. Steve Kerr is not going to be shy about putting him in.
Well, he's the reason Kai Bowman's on the team right now.
Pretty much, yep.
Would have been competing probably for a two-way spot, but they got Nico Mannion. They got the guy they wanted. So obviously they have enough confidence because they liked Kai Bowman. They did. It was just a roster crunch, and that's just how it is. Let's not spend a ton of time on Justinian Jessup, not because he's not going to be a good player, just because we won't see him this next year. He'll be in Australia. But you and I are going to keep close tabs on him, very close tabs.
No, I mean, without a doubt, we will be talking about him throughout the season. We'll be, if we're not able to watch some of his streams playing in Australia, we will at least be looking at some box scores, and there will be some articles written, I'm sure. And 6'7" lefty who can shoot it, I mean, like, really can shoot it.
Right.
And he said it's all about defense and toughness for him is what he really wants to prove to the Warriors down there. He is playing for the Hawks, not the Illawarra Hawks, because they changed their name. That is the team that LaMelo Ball played for last year. And, we'll see if he ends up actually earning a contract and be on the 15-man roster moving forward. But, yes, this year he'll be in Australia.
The Hawks are going to be like, why is there no one in the stands? Is it just COVID? And they'll be like, oh, wait, no, LaMelo Ball's not on the team anymore. Okay, so let's talk about the guy they traded for, the big guy. No, I mean, he's not big, but the big name.
Wingspan, big wingspan.
He's got the wingspan. Drink. Kelly Oubre Jr. How often do you say junior with it? We're going to have to ask him that question, because
unless he demands it,
right?
It's Kelly Oubre.
Tsunami Poppy, that's what he demands. That's what he's supposed to be called, Tsunami Poppy. Yeah. I want to hear you say that. I feel like I don't think there's not a chance in the world you're called Tsunami Poppy.
I'm not saying swag, and I'm not saying swagger.
Right.
And I'm not saying Tsunami Poppy, so don't try.
I guess the second one's another two words. But Kelly Oubre, if they had Klay Thompson, was also a perfect player for this team.
Uh-huh.
He is somebody that, you know, if you heard any of his interviews, the guy is confident. He has, Drew, cover your ears for a second, swagger. He is somebody that believes in himself, and every single year he's been in the league, he's gotten better. And he's happy to tell that to everybody. He has gotten better. Percentages. Yeah. Everything. The Warriors need him to play well if they're going to contend this season at all and be, you know, a legitimate team. And they have high expectation for him. The best thing going for the Warriors is that this is a contract year for Kelly Oubre. So if they had any fear at all, which they shouldn't, that he's not going to be motivated, that alone should be like, okay, this guy needs to earn his money. He needs to earn his contract. He said the right things. He says he wants to stay in Golden State. This is the place he wants to be. Obviously, he actually hasn't, like, talked to his teammates yet or really been around anybody. But Kelly Oubre is somebody, defense, offense, length. You talked about wingspan. He's working on his lefty three, got up to 35, a little over 35% this year. He says that's even better this year. He says it feels better. They changed some things in his shot. Most important, Drew, is he runs the floor. And this team with Wiggins, him, Steph, Draymond, Wiseman, who runs the floor, that's going to be their calling card soon. And I know, you know, we're going to have to talk, especially later this week, we'll talk about the system they employ, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But they're going to be running. We do know that.
No doubt about it. And when the Warriors were at their best during the five straight trips to the finals, it was when they were getting out in transition off of good defense. And with the length that the Warriors have now on the perimeter, they should be a very good defensive team. Now, some of these individual players have not proven to be, you know, great defenders in the past, but the Warriors are banking on you know, Draymond Green and the principles that they have to be able to be vastly improved. Last year, everyone knows the defense wasn't good, but it was just a disastrous year altogether. You know, outside of, you know, analyzing Oubre's game and how he fits with the Warriors moving forward, we'll be able to really see it in practice. But to just, you know, recap what the trade was so Warriors fans can really understand, you know, what's going on. It's a top 20 protected first round pick in 2021 that the Warriors will send OKC. So that means if it lands in the top 20, the Warriors keep it and they do not have to send it to the Thunder. And instead, they will give Oklahoma City 2 second round picks in 2021. One of those will be Denver's second round pick, which, you know, if we assume Denver has a really good year, it's in the early 50s, maybe mid 50s if they're awesome. So not too valuable of a pick, but the other second round pick is from the Minnesota Timberwolves, and, you know, they're going to be improved, but if they end up having a bad year, that pick is going to be in the early 30s, mid 30s, and is a pretty valuable second round pick. So it shows you that the Warriors, you know, were willing to give up draft capital to acquire Oubre because they really feel like his trajectory is going up. And playing alongside Steph, Draymond, and everyone else, I mean, we could be talking about a guy who becomes one of the focal points of everybody in the Bay Area for the next year.
There is one caveat: even if they fall out of the top 20, they get a first and a second. There's a second round pick going to them no matter what, and that's
the Denver one. Yeah. The Denver one.
It's the Minnesota one. And at the end of the day, if you really think about it, if Minnesota struggles badly, if it's in the 20 to 30 range, that first round pick, and the Minnesota pick, as you're saying, is in the low 30s, there really isn't that big of a difference between those two picks in the end. And that's what the Warriors are banking on. Pretty much they're saying, either way, we're giving a pick in the 20 to 35 to 40 range, no matter what.
Sure, but let's be real. I mean, the best case scenario is the pick is 30th overall, because it means the Warriors finish with the best record. They give away the first round pick to Oklahoma City and that Denver second round pick. But the most realistic best scenario is, I think, for the pick to be number 20.
Right.
So the Warriors keep it and they will be picking 20th overall. And that means that they probably finished fifth or sixth in the West. And that would be, based on how insane the Western Conference is, I think the Warriors, if you told them right now you're going to be the 5 seed going into the playoffs and you're going to be fully healthy, they probably have a little bit of higher expectations, but I think that is a place that Warriors fans should be like, okay, you know, that's pretty good.
And we'll talk about that again. Also, a lot of
our
pod later this week is going to be very expectations type oriented, But the point is, either way, that's what the package is going back to them. Remember, they could trade Oubre at the deadline if they wanted to. What makes Oubre more valuable than other times is the bird rights that travels with him. So the Warriors technically, more often than not, they can't resign any of these guys because, I mean, they're so far of the cap. How are you supposed to pay them? They have the bird rights, so they have the right to match any deal that someone gives as a restricted free agent, pretty much.
Well, no, he won't be restricted. They just have the ability to pay him a lot of money. He'll be unrestricted.
Right. But okay. So if another team offers a certain amount of money, he can go to the Warriors and say, give me this much or more. The Warriors own his rights. Correct.
Correct. No, and that is an important distinction.
Yeah.
It's more that the Warriors, like, they can go way above the tax to retain him. They have the ability to do that and give him a significant raise if they determine we want this guy to be a part of our core moving forward.
Absolutely. So Oubre, it's very exciting, and it's a very exciting he's a perfect match for the Warriors, what they need right now. He really is. For what they are able to obtain at this point, he's exactly what they need. Especially
he is sane. All of the right things, like, for real.
He is. Him and Wiggins together, you know, the way we envision it as you were saying, is, you know, maybe their history doesn't show that individual defenders that they've always brought it every single play, especially Wiggins in his career. But you'd hope with all these guys together, they would instill in each other that you know, that drive to be defensive hounds and just really tear up the opposing offense. It's unfortunate the fans aren't there, because I feel like these guys would feed off fans, and because that's what fast break is and that's what defense is.
And hopefully, you know, there will be fans at Chase Center as the season goes on. We have no idea when that, you know, might happen. I think the last time we did a podcast together, I said I actually think there will be a couple thousand fans at least on opening night. I think the Warriors really thought it was going to happen too, but the virus is not in a good place right now, yada, yada, yada. But Oubre, Wiggins, we got a lefty, a righty. They both went to Kansas. They got 7-foot wingspans. Let's go.
Running down each side of the floor in fast pace. All right, two more guys to talk about. First of all, Kent Bazemore returning back to the Bay. Drew, you were all calling for him to come back. You know,
I talked it into existence, Grant.
And if Bazemore struggles this year, remember it was Drew that brought him here. Yep. No, he's exactly, again, what the Warriors need. And I know everyone wanted the big fish and they want this and that, but at the end of the day, they're spending $80 million on Oubre. So, they didn't have that. So they got a minimum deal for Kent Bazemore. And to be fair, they didn't think they would have a shot at Kent Bazemore for the minimum before. So they are happy with that. And Drew, in his 25 games with the Kings, he shot well, like 38% from three. Two seasons before that, a full season with the Hawks, he shot 39% from three. The problem, in between those two, he shot low, like in, let's say, 32% from three. So you don't know necessarily which Bazemore you're going to get. But you do know he's going to bring energy. He's a good defensive player. Length. He may be listed at 6'4", but, man, the guy is long. So you do that. He runs the floor as well. He has good chemistry. He's the best, you know, bench cheerleader out there. It's just a matter of if he hits his open threes, he's going to earn himself a big contract next year.
Very possible. And – I mean, I know we kind of say it jokingly with him being, you know, the biggest cheerleader on the bench and all that, but like you truly can't understate how important a guy like that is going to be moving forward in this year in particular, because of the lack of fans, because of the circumstances, and how there's going to be nights where it's going to be hard, I'm sure, as we see every season, to, you know, for players to get going and get fired up and all that. And Bazemore's energy and just his infectious spirit is really going to permeate that locker room. And just the smile that he brings, Steph's going to be happy because now he has a golfing buddy.
He's technically still pretty young, but he's a vet. He's been in the league for a long time.
He's 31 years old. I mean, he made his debut with the Warriors in the 2012-13 season.
Well, we were always talking about what are they going to do at free agency, and we're like, oh, they need some veteran leadership, et cetera. And people don't think of Kent Bazemore as that, but he is. And maybe it's a different type of leadership. Maybe it's the energy you're talking about, the spirit he brings to it. But that is a different type of leadership. Somebody who's been in locker rooms and knows how to make people happy and brings the joy back, as Steve Kerr likes.
Correct. And you know, I don't think there's any false promises being made. I think Bazemore, you know, took this contract knowing that he's not pegged for 25, 30 minutes a night. I don't think that's going to be his role. I mean, I guess in a perfect world, he is unbelievable and you have to keep him on the floor. But I just think with the depth, you know, he's probably looking at more like
15 to 20,
16 to 20 minutes per game, depending on matchups and all that. And I mean, that's, I think, worst case scenario. So I just, clearly, he could have some big performances, but also not a guy who's going to be demanding shots, demanding touches. He's just going to fill his role, and I cannot wait to just see him in a Warriors uniform again. It really is it's not just a fun story. It's this guy brings value that the Warriors need, and oh, yeah, it is cool that he started his career here and came on a veteran minimum.
And by the way, the Sacramento Kings got better when he went there.
Yes.
They actually improved, and a lot of it was they people credited Kent Bazemore with a lot of help in that. I'm not saying that's how it's going to happen to the Warriors, but he's more than what you'd think a minimum deal gets you.
At Speedy Oil Change and Auto Service, our Total Trust Guarantee gives you 20/20 vision into everything we do. From service bay cameras to service bay views to our transparent pricing. Each and every day. Speaking of price, now get $10 off any 17-point oil change. Go to speedyoil.com/save for your coupon today. Most vehicles discount off a regular price. See store for details. Charge for additional parts service if needed.
Finally, Brad Wanamaker. And it's funny. He was the first deal the Warriors made when everyone was like looking for that free agent deal. And everyone was like, oh, like, who is this guy?
And it wasn't until Saturday.
Right, exactly. And they're like, all the buildup. And then they say, the Golden State Warriors sign. And it's Brad Wanamaker. And it's funny because he actually fits exactly what the Warriors need. Like, precisely what they need.
Which is what?
A guy who can be steady, fill in for Steph Curry, not do anything too crazy out there, because Steph is the one who's going to be the wild card out there running around. He comes in, controls the flow. He's their new Sean Livingston in that way. Are they different? Absolutely. He's an incredible spot-up three-point shooter. He's not a good off-the-dribble three-point shooter. He's really good spot-up. A steady defender. He also has the Iguodala, Drew. I know you were talking about the slap-down strip. You watched that video?
I did, and I hashtagged Iguodala-esque.
Yeah. So, again, we're not saying here he's the best player. He has his weaknesses. He's not a playmaker in the same way. He dishes the ball, swings it around, makes the right pass. He's not a high turnover guy. He's not going to push the pace like crazy. He's going to bring it up. He's just the steady force. It's like that babysitter that Steve Kerr needs out there, right? And he's used that term before. And he's going to hit some threes. The difference between him and, let's say, an Ian Clark or a Quinn Cook that have played for the Warriors is he's supposed to be a pretty good defender, Wanamaker. And these guys weren't. So
he only averaged about 19 minutes per game last year with the Boston Celtics and averaged a steal in 19 minutes.
That's very good.
So if he's playing, 30 plus minutes, he's, well over 1.5. And I mean, that's legit production. He's also he's got a cool story. When undrafted in 2011, had to play overseas for 7 years. He bounced around a bunch of different countries and then finally gets his shot with the Celtics, is there for 2 seasons. Grant, in game 5 of the 2020 Eastern Conference semifinals against the Raptors in the bubble, guy had 15 points and went 3-for-5 from 3 in a big Celtics win. I mean, he has had moments in the playoffs. You said steady, he's reliable. Grant, he led the NBA in free throw percentage last year, 92.6%.
That is important. And also, by the way, that game you were talking about, the playoff game, at halftime, they were saying Brad Wanamaker was the best player in that game at that point. How he was playing.
He is solid. He probably will not get to play with Steph Curry a lot. I don't know, certain lineups maybe, but if we assume Steph plays, 32 to 34 minutes, you're not going to give all of those other minutes to Wanamaker. There will be some Jordan Poole in there. There could be some Nico Mannion, but Wanamaker is just, they nailed it. They got themselves a great backup point guard who in certain combinations can be on the floor, maybe to close a half if he's feeling frisky and he's feeling good. I cannot wait to watch him just strip the ball away from people because his timing and his instincts, we're going to be showing.
Well, clips. I mean, for Warriors outsiders, when we do that, it's going to be friend of the show, the game. It's going to be Wanamaker.
The show's already written.
But the one thing I do need to say is this. We're not sitting here saying that the Warriors had a perfect offseason. There were a lot of players that would have fit them very well. What we are saying is for the money they had to spend, given also the injury to Clay.
That's the biggest variable of all.
That's where the things they did was probably the best they could do in this situation. For not spending the mid-level exception, for the most part, they gave maybe a little chunk of it to Wanamaker, and not spending the disabled player exception, they pulled off using most of the TPE, which everyone wanted to do, and pretty much the target that almost everyone wanted, right?
Yep.
Then they got Wanamaker and they got Bazemore, who a lot of people wanted, on a minimum. So again, we're not going to say here and say Wanamaker's the best player in the league. No, there were better point guards out there that they could have gotten. They were too expensive. Kent Bazemore's not the best bench wing guy that you can get, but hey, he came on the minimum. That's the point. They did well in that way. And the only reason we're talking about the Warriors still potentially almost could maybe want a five seed is because of these moves they made.
And we will break down later this week how the Warriors now fit in the Western Conference and who we think are going to make the playoffs, and make some predictions, some too early predictions, but there's never really too early predictions anymore, because we have had 8 months of making predictions on things.
We were making predictions 8 months ago. So yeah, I'm not
exactly. So it's November 23rd. The Warriors might be opening the season 1 month from tonight. It's either going to be December 22nd or December 23rd. Training camps are going to open next week. It's not, the season's almost here. No, the season is here. Like, it's Thanksgiving coming up. The players are going to, you know, enjoy some time off this week, and then it's go time.
Drew, I'm excited to watch James Wiseman.
Full circle. We started with Wiseman. We closed with Wiseman. I can't wait.
Like, that is cool. We've never had a chance to really watch a number two pick or someone that high on the Warriors while we've been working here, and get to we get to watch a guy that high and see what he can do.
Because we're bandwagoners. We just came on here when the team was right.
The Warriors acquired us and Kevin Durant on July 4th, which was really impressive work. Everyone, thank you so much for joining us. As always, Dubs Talk. Make sure to subscribe, you know, leave us a comment, do all those things. Drew Schiller and I, you're going to see us on Warriors Outsiders. We'll have another pod later this week as well. Thank you as always. Drew, you're the man.
Let's go do a show on TV.
Sure, why not?
Okay.
Let's jump into Peppa's world of play. Look for spring flowers, hunt for muddy puddles, and bravely explore exciting places with Peppa play sets. Peppa Pig, inspiring kid confidence.